The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Today's message is called The Seed of the Church. That doesn't make any sense to you right now, maybe, unless you know the quote, but we'll get to it. Got your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 6. Let's pray before we read God's Word. God, thank you for your grace, your mercy. Father, today is tough, and this is not a message for the faint of heart. So God, help us put on our big boy britches and be ready to hear from you and be challenged by you today. Thanks, Father. Amen. Today is, it's going to challenge you. Like I said in my prayer, you better put on your big boy britches for this one, okay? Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 2. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. So brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea. They chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, who we'll hear a lot more about later; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. Okay? There's a kind of Christianity that's really comfortable, right? It's convenient. It's safe. Kind of fits nicely into a Sunday morning schedule. You know, you can go and then watch football later in the afternoon, or, you know, if your pastor's not long-winded, you can beat the Baptist to the local buffet. It doesn't interfere with your Monday morning routine, your Monday morning reality. When you open the Bible, the book of Acts, that church doesn't exist. That comfy, convenient church is not there. See, the early church wasn't safe. It was powerful. It wasn't comfortable. It was committed. And it certainly wasn't convenient. It was costly. In the middle of that movement, we meet a guy named Stephen. He's not an apostle. He's not one of the original 12. He's not a celebrity preacher. Hallelujah. With the bouffant hairdo. The matching leisure suit. He's just a faithful guy. Just a regular dude who got so close to God that it cost him everything. Here's the truth we don't always say out loud. If you walk closely enough with God, it's going to eventually cost you something. Could be a relationship, could be whatever it is in your life. But if you walk with God long enough, it's going to cost you something. Steve was chosen because of his character, not his title. He wasn't chosen because of his titles. He didn't have one. So look at Acts 6:5 again. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, what? A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. This is not your Sunday morning, hey, I'll show up late, and maybe I'll get the last worship song in. No offense to anybody. Maybe there's a fence there. Right? And you say, well, I'll leave as soon as it's over because, you know, I got stuff to do. I got sinning to do. No, I'm just kidding. He was full of faith, full of the Spirit. The only way to get that way is to spend time with God. Stephen spent time with God. Now, the early church is growing. It's growing fast. From the day of Pentecost in chapter 2 all the way now, it's growing. Every time somebody gets up and preaches, like 1,000 people come to the church. I'd like to give an altar call where 1,000 people came to the church. We'd have to get 1,000 people in here first. But anytime you put a lot of people together, even Christians, hallelujah, there's tension. Well, Sister So-and-so parked in my spot. She knows I always park in that spot every week. That's where I sit. Look, they're sitting in my chair. It's all formed nicely to my behind. I mean, that's my chair. Gaps in ministry. Well, we got a special ministry for three-year-olds and a special ministry for four-year-olds. Five-year-olds, we really don't have a special ministry for. You know, they jump to six, but five and six, I mean, that's a big jump. That's a gap. Look, if you think I'm being petty, trust me, I have heard all of this. Maybe not the 4 and 5 year old gap. The apostle said, we need help. Now, understand this. We need help. But here's what they didn't say. They didn't say, find us the most talented. Find us the most educated. Find us the best speaker. They didn't have tryouts. They said, find men full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Just something for you to chew on now. If the call went out a remnant for a person full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit to fill a ministry role, would you qualify? We hate you, Jerry. Stephen rises to the top, not because of his position, but because of his presence. He had been standing in the presence of God. He'd been spending time with him. We live in a world that promotes gifting over godliness, right? If you can sing, oh, you should be on the platform. If you can speak, well, we'll give you a microphone. If you can lead, here's your title. If you're good looking, you get all of the above. That's why I have none of the above. But in the kingdom of God, God's not looking for your talent first. He's looking for your surrender. The surrender has to come before your talent. Because without surrender, your talent means nothing. I've heard people get up and sing in church that sing beautifully. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel to hear them again. Because they were more about the performance than the praise and worship. Some folks want a title before they serve. They want to be pastor, but they don't want to be faithful. They want a platform, but they can't even show up on time. Stephen didn't apply for the job. His life made him undeniable. I love that. Make your life undeniable. They can argue with your theology. They can argue with the king, you know, the version of the Bible you read, whatever. They can argue with all kinds of little stuff. But if your life is undeniable, they have to say, there's something true here. Make your life undeniable. If you want God to use you, be like Stephen. Be full of faith, full of the Spirit. And be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. Because God promotes presence before position. I don't care if you're the guy that comes in and sets up chairs every Sunday morning. Be faithful. I don't care if you're the person that leads our kids' ministry. Be faithful. I don't care if you just go and help put bulletins down or pick them up at the end of service. Be faithful. Because it's in that faithfulness that God raises us up. We have that all backwards in today's church. Today's church, we want to find the most talented, the most good-looking, the most this, this, and this. God says, no, you know what? Let's find their heart first. Let's find the most surrendered. Second thing you need to know, Stephen's power came from his relationship with God. Look at Acts 6:8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. You know, great miracles and signs among the people, but he's not one of the 12. He's not one of the apostles. He wasn't a pastor, but he was operating in the same gifts that the apostles had. How? Because he'd spent time with God. You don't need a title to be anointed. Well, I know I could do more work for the kingdom if I had the title of pastor. No, you can't. In fact, there are times when being a pastor limits the work you can do. Years ago, I told a story when I was a youth pastor. I saw a lady in the store, and she was smoking a cigarette. And that's between her and God. That's not my thing. But she hit it real quick. She had it in the palm of her hand. So I just kept talking to her. Because that's the kind of guy I am. And all of a sudden, you know, I knew that eventually it was burned down close enough to her hand for her to feel it. But she's, where'd that come from? Being a pastor gets in the way sometimes. Hello, Pastor Jerry. Look, my mama named me Jerry. Call me anything, just don't call me late for dinner. That's an old joke. You don't need a title to be anointed. You don't need a stage to be powerful. In fact, I'd rather be standing down there. But I can't because of all the cameras and stuff. I like to be in the front where people right on the front row are in the spit zone. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have access to everything you need. Everything. You don't need a title. You don't need anything fancy. You don't need business cards. Guess what happens? Conflict arises. When God starts moving through your life, opposition is going to show up. You hear me? You make a stand for Jesus, family members, friends, other people. You're going to get opposition. Why are you acting so holy? Because I'm trying to be holy. When I went to work at the sheriff's office, I told you before, I put a nameplate in that somebody had given me. It was beautiful. It was from the Philippines, and it said, Pastor Jerry Godsey. It was pretty. So I put it on my desk, my credenza there in my office, the sheriff's office, and one of the deputies came in. He goes, oh, you trying to remind us you're a pastor? So he said it. I said, no, I'm trying to remind me that I'm a pastor. That's also that Jerry doesn't travel down the road. Some of you guys travel. Stephen begins to debate religious leaders, and they can't handle him. And look at this. It's not because he's louder. I am so sick of all the shows on television where two people just start screaming at each other across the desk. Shut up. I know that's offensive to some. Yea, verily, close with thy mouths. That makes it sound holy, right? It's not because he's louder. It's because he's full of wisdom and of the Holy Spirit. If you're relying on God when something like this comes up, just let God speak. Open your mouth, let God speak. So what do? Well, they start doing what most people do when they can't win honestly. They lie. They twist his words. They stir up the crowd. They drag him to court. Don't be surprised when walking with God brings resistance. When you stand for truth, expect pushback. When you live right, expect criticism. And when God uses you, expect opposition. Why? Because light always exposes darkness. What's the one thing darkness can't handle? Light. Light expels it, like sends it away. It also scares cockroaches. Stephen preached the truth even when it cost him. Now, Acts chapter 7 is the longest sermon recorded in the Bible. It's even longer than the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read the whole thing to you because we'd be here till 3 o'clock. But man, it is a barn burner. It is a barn burner. And he goes right after him, hammer and tongs. Look at verse 51. You stubborn people, you're heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Now, can you imagine if that's the way I started my message today? You bunch of heathens, you're going to hell. Heathen at heart, deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Right after that, Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disowned God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. Don't hold back, Stephen. Tell us how you really feel. Holy guacamole. Can you imagine that message, that sermon? Whew. In the whole sermon, he walks them through Israel's history, shows them how God has always been faithful. And then he turns the mirror on them and he basically says, you've resisted God every step of the way. Now, here's a question I got for you. Same thing true of you? Every time God's tried to work in your life, have you resisted him every step along the way? Now, I really want you to do something for me. Okay, God, but you know, I'm kind of busy right now. Now listen, this is not seven steps to a better life sermon. This is bold. This is confrontational. This is spirit-filled truth. I got news for you. If you're going to preach a message like that, it better be from God. If not, you waste a lot of people's time and you hurt them. We live in a time, though, where people want preaching that feels good. Stephen preached a message that made people mad. Not just mad, furious. President James Garfield said, the truth will set you free, but first it'll make you miserable. And that's exactly what happened to these guys. They were miserable. You know, can you imagine when he gets to the part where he says, you deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received from the hands of angels. The whole crowd went, ah. Them's fighting words. Faithfulness to God does not guarantee approval from people. Man, write that one down. Faithfulness with God does not guarantee approval from people. If Stephen was preaching today, can you imagine? Well, I'm not going back to that church. That pastor stepped on my toes. Well, maybe get a mani-pedi for him. See, the word didn't step on your toes, found your heart. Every time somebody tells me, man, that one really stepped on my heart. Yeah. That's what preaching is supposed to do. You're not supposed to walk out here comfortable today. I'm sorry to tell you now that you're already here and listening. I don't want you to leave here comfortable. I want you to leave here feeling like you've been sitting on a burr in your saddle all day. I want you to walk out of here thinking, I got some stuff I need to take care of. I want you to be encouraged. But I don't want you to be comfortable. Comfort kills. Stephen saw heaven even as he faced death. Look at verse 54. I'm having trouble talking today. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fist at him in rage. Why are you? But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he told them, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." The crowd's getting angrier. They're tearing their clothes. They're shaking their fists. They're yelling. While they're doing that, something incredible happens. Stephen looks up, and he sees God. Wow. And he sees Jesus standing. Stephen sees the glory of God. And Jesus is standing right next to him. Now, understand, Jesus is normally depicted as seated at the right hand of the Father. More often than not, when you read about Jesus in heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But here, Jesus is standing. I got to believe in my heart. They pointed this out so we would know that Jesus was there to welcome Stephen home. When I take my last breath, if I can look up, see Jesus standing next to God the Father, I'll leave this planet kicking, screaming, saying hallelujah. Such a powerful contrast here. The crowd's filled with rage. Stephen's filled with peace. They're losing control. He's gaining clarity. They see a problem. He sees glory. Wow. That's how I want to go out. I want to go out seeing God's glory. I want to have ultimate clarity. I want to have peace. I want to know that I've run my race. Now it's over. See, when you walk closely with God, even in your worst moment, you can still see heaven clearly. There's something interesting here. Stephen's death was not the end. It was a seed. I've said it before, when they say in the Bible somebody got stoned, they use real rocks. They drag him out, they pick up their stones, and they begin to kill him. Can you imagine the thought process of dragging some guy out, and then on your way out, you start picking up rocks to kill him with? All over something he said that you don't like. Kind of sounds like the climate today, doesn't it? I agree, buddy. They start to kill him, and Stephen does something unbelievable. Look at what he prays in verse 59. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge him with this sin." And with that, he died. I got to be honest with you. If you start hucking rocks at me, I'm throwing back. I'm going down without a fight. I'm not as full of faith of the Holy Spirit as Stephen was. I'm working on it, but I'm not there yet. And as I'm dying, I'm not saying, "Hey, God, forgive him." I'm saying, "God, do your worst. Give him boils, God. Give him shingles. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest their armpits. Go get them, God." Maybe that's just me. "Lord, don't hold the sin against them." Who does that sound like to you? It's like Jesus. When you get close enough to Jesus, you start to look like him. Even in his suffering, even in your suffering. See, remember I told you this is going to be uncomfortable? This is a big part of it. We don't want to be We don't want to suffer for Jesus. I used to use this as a joke. How you doing? Well, suffering for Jesus. Stephen knew what it was like to suffer. Here we reach a critical moment to the rest of the Bible. You ready for this? I want you to make sure you're seated. Everybody ready? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Who's Saul? We know him better as Paul the Apostle. This is the first time we see Saul in the New Testament. This is the first time you see the guy that wrote the majority of the New Testament in the New Testament, and he's nodding in appreciation for the fact that they're murdering a Christian. You want to talk about an origin story? It's like a Marvel throwback, right? Standing nearby, watching all this, Saul of Tarsus. What he witnessed that day, he was approved of it all. But what he witnessed that day would plant a seed. Tertullian, second century Christian leader, said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." Stephen's death didn't stop the church. It spread it. Don't you love when the devil's plans get kicked back in his face? I'll make sure Jesus dies on the cross. How'd it work out for you, Sparky? You know, that third day, you know, when Jesus rose and conquered you and basically set you up to spend eternity in hell. Yeah. How'd that work out for you? How many times has Satan planted stuff in your life, planned stuff for your life, and God has come in and said, "I got this. I got this." And let's be honest, there are times when
where am I? Okay.
When they kicked all the Christian missionaries out of China, they tried to kill the Christian church. Well, guess what? Years later, when they opened China back up to missionaries, they thought they'd have to go in and start all over. Their church had grown while the pastors and missionaries were gone. Because you can't keep God from growing. You can't keep God's people from sharing the good things that Jesus has given them, even if it means death. Some of the hardest things you go through are not the end of your story. Oh, so let's put that up. They're the beginning of someone else's breakthrough. So when you go through something rough in your life, and you think, man, what's going on here? Maybe God is using that moment in your life to open the lives of other people, to bless them, to show them what faith looks like, to show them what a Christian looks like. So I got news for you. When you're going through a tough time, quit whining and belly aching. Instead say, "Okay, God, what am I supposed to learn here? And how can I bring you glory through this?" Is that easy? Nope. I'm not stupid. I'm not telling you that. Well, you should be able to do this all by yourself. No, that's hard. It's also what being full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit's all about. Stephen gives us three powerful truths. Walk closely with God, even when no one sees it. Stand boldly for truth, even when it costs you. And trust God with the outcome, even if it costs everything. We don't show that Stephen ever pastored a church. He never wrote a book. Whoops. Never wrote a book. He never saw the Christian movement fully unfold, but his faithfulness helped ignite a fire that would spread across the world. One guy who spoke the truth, and it spread like wildfire. I'd like to be a catalyst like that, I'd like to know that something I said or did infected one person like that, let alone a whole society. And that should be our prayer. God, let my actions today, let my words today, let my life today be a living witness to you that changes lives. You may never know what your obedience will produce, but God never wastes faithfulness. Maybe you've been playing it safe. Okay? Now this is, all right, put away all the pretense. This is just you and God right now, right? And here's the thing. You've heard this, you've already suffered through this whole message. Heard this message. What are you going to take from it? Is this just another 45 minutes, maybe more, of wasted time for you? Or is this the moment God took your heart and changed you and everything around you forever? So I'm going to ask you these questions. The answer is between you and God. You could lie to me. Well, yes, Jerry, I'll do all those things. How about you and God? Because God knows. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. Maybe you've been keeping your faith comfortable. You've been avoiding costs. But God is calling you deeper. I know that for a fact. I don't care how good you are. I don't know how close to God you are. God's calling you deeper. Because he always does. He's got new challenges, new blessings for us every step along the way. God's calling you to be full of faith, full of the Spirit, fully surrendered. So I'm going to challenge you something. This week, let's pray this prayer. Lord, make me like Stephen. Faithful in life, bold in truth, and surrendered even when it costs everything. Get your phone, take a picture of that. Because I'm going to challenge you to pray that every day this week. Every day this week, God, do this in me. Lord, make me like Stephen, faithful in life, bold in truth, and surrendered even when it costs everything. Are you ready to make that prayer? If you're not ready, you better get ready. God wants you to be more than you are right here, right now. One of you may be a missionary. I mean, one that's not already a missionary. The next pastor remnant may be sitting in this room right now. The next kids worker. The next person who sets their neighborhood on fire for God just because they're faithful and they're willing to risk everything for it. Is it you? Let me tell you something. There's no reason it can't be. And every reason it should be. Father, thanks. Lord, I'm sure this is not one of my more popular messages. But God, I hope you'll use it to touch hearts, to challenge people. God, I pray that you'll open our hearts. Take a moment now. Just take a moment. God, make me like Stephen. Make me like Stephen. Faithful, bold, surrendered. Come on, take a minute. Just tell him. God, I want to be the match that starts the fire that ignites your kingdom. I want to be the catalyst in my family, my friends, my school, my work. I want to be the one that everybody has to follow. Everybody has to say, there's something different and I want what they've got. Father, thanks. Thanks. God bless us now. Keep us, Father. And challenge us every day. I pray you send the Holy Spirit like the hounds of heaven to just convict us and move in us and spur us forward, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, remember that prayer also leads you to maybe getting some opposition this week. Don't be scared. The same God that called you, equipped you, and will hold you and will keep you. Amen? I would say I'm sorry for what basically is a harsh message, but I'm not. But some of you are going to walk out here and say, man, that, whew. I may not sit right for a week. That's good. That's how we grow. Okay? Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress till